Matthew 5:38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, then I want us to look at a very closely related passage wherein Paul does make an application of these very principles which the Lord has set forth over in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And verse 14, well, let's begin reading there in verse 10. Be kindly, this is in chapter 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then over in 1 Corinthians, and the 6th chapter, First Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you, speaking to the Corinthians as believers, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, any man that reads those passages of Scripture and doesn't have an issue with it is telling a lie. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? I mean, when you read that, you say, well, this can't be right. Don't you? I mean, be honest with yourself. You know you do. You don't like it. No. I don't like it. The Lord Jesus, He came teaching things that people didn't like. That's why He said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring a sword. And the sword that He brought is the sword of the Word of God. And it smites the heart of man right where he's at. See, you don't get to pick and choose where you'll be smitten. Now, all of us, we want the Lord to, Lord, make us thankful people. Lord, make us joyful people. Lord, make us helpful people. Lord, do all these things. We have these noble ideas about what we ought to be, don't we? But the sword never cuts us in those places. The sword cuts us in those places where we are holding out. We say, well, we believe everything the Lord said, but you know, you can't take all this stuff. I mean, the Lord, surely the Lord meant something else, didn't He? I mean, surely He didn't really mean that. I mean, you know, every time that men get up that I've ever heard men preach on this, they always spend more time saying what the Lord didn't mean by it than what He did. Now, I'm going to tell you this right here. When you get a hold of this, if you ever can, I'm not claiming to you that I have by any means, but I'm telling you this, what the Lord Jesus Christ said here is a description of the kingdom of God. Now, it is not good advice for men in the flesh, because men in the flesh bite and devour and kill one another and all that stuff, and that's not good advice in the flesh. You know, the thief, he comes to break through and destroy and all that stuff. And that's not good advice in that realm. But you see, we're not interested in that realm. Primarily. I mean, that's not the place in which the Lord came to deal with His people. Now, most people cast this off and they say, oh, well, you got to take that with a grain of salt, and they just forget it. Now, he says something very interesting. He says here, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, I want to ask you a question. When did anybody ever have to teach you that principle? Have you ever met a child that did not already know that principle? I mean, from the time that they were old enough to have a toy, and another child came along and took that toy from them? Didn't they automatically know that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was the proper way? I mean, didn't they know that it was wrong for somebody to steal?
Yeah, we understood that from being children, but I think why that scripture was given is because we would take it even beyond that.
Oh, sure, absolutely. That's a good point. It is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What we want to say is not an eye for an eye. We want two eyes for every eye. You know, oh, buddy, if you get me, I'll show you. You know, I mean, that's just... And who has to teach us that? I mean, where did we did our mothers and dads have to spend time? Now, buddy, you better... No. They had to try to beat it out of us. And now, and it's just ingrained. And so the Lord said, ye have heard that it hath been said. Now, the law of Moses was built on that principle. And you better be sure of this one thing, that not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass away. Now, this is the thing that ought to cause us to tremble in fear, is we consider that if fallen men have a notion of the breaking of a righteous law as far as they are concerned, oh, how much more is he who says that he is a jealous God and that he will not at all acquit the wicked or by any means clear the guilty, how much greater is the hatred of God against sin? I mean, think about that. If that doesn't cause you a little discomfort, then you're not thinking about what we're saying here. So you don't have to have anybody to teach you the principle, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's ingrained in you. And if nobody ever said a word to you about it, you'd be able to take care of yourself pretty good. Because you live by that principle. But the Lord said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you've heard that. And that's the natural bent of men. But he says, I'm going to tell you that another way. He says, I'm going to tell you the way of truth insofar as spiritual light is concerned. That ye resist not evil. Now, he's not speaking here specifically about evil in the sense of evil from Satan, because he plainly, in the scriptures, it plainly tells us that we are to resist the devil. So that's not the evil that he's talking about. But what's he speaking about? He's talking about those that would do us wrong in this world. Have you ever been done wrong? I mean, there's not a man alive that hasn't been done wrong from time to time, ever. Now, that most of the time, we probably deserve most of the stuff that we get in life. If you're honest with yourself, you bring on most 99% of the problems that you have are self-induced problems. They don't just fall on you. Now, we like to think of it that way. Oh, here we are just going through life trying to do the best for everybody around us, and all things just happen to us. And the world's against us, and God hates us, and our fellow man, he just don't appreciate the good that we do for him. See, the natural man wants, you always want to magnify in your own mind how much good you're doing for other people, don't you? I mean, you know, if you sell a fella a product or whatever, you think about, man, I really gave him a good deal. And he's sitting over there thinking, man, that guy's ripping me off. I mean, that's just the way that the mind works. And so we want to justify ourselves. There's not a one of us that does not, in every relationship problem that we have, want to justify ourselves. The Lord Jesus said, don't justify yourself. That's what he said. Resist not evil. Don't think of yourself as being right. Now, you may be right. Now, you see, here's where the rub comes in. We very seldom don't think we're right, because usually in reality, if we know we're wrong, I mean, just bold-faced know we're wrong, we say, well, you know, sorry. But see, the problem doesn't come in when we know we did the wrong thing, does it? It comes in when we're convinced that we did the right thing. Now, that is the place, you see, and that's what the Lord's saying here. He said, some people, you may be right. Being right's not the thing. See, the kingdom of God is not about being right. The Lord Jesus was right, but when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was persecuted, he didn't persecute back. When he was mistreated, he didn't think, well, I need to mistreat these folks. That ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Oh, man. All right, I'll do it one time, but then if he does it again... I've actually heard this preached, and men say, well, what the Lord said was, he said, turn the right cheek, but he didn't say, turn the other one. Sure. I've heard men say, oh, you can do it one time, you know, but not again. Now, here in Florida, we have something called the Stand Your Ground law. And I'm not in this is not a political discussion. I'm not politically discussing that. But I'm talking about the psychology behind it. Okay? I mean, surely if a man is coming at you with a firearm and he's fixing to shoot you, I don't think there's anything that requires you to let him shoot you. Okay? That's not my point here. But I'm talking about the psychology, and you see it getting into a whole levels of thought. Man says, oh, that's right, buddy. I mean, you know, we're going to stand our ground. And so that a man can go provoke another man, and then the other man comes at him, and then he pulls out a gun and shoots him because he feels threatened, and he stood his ground. But what did he really? Or did he instigate the problem? So you see, there is it's about what's in the mind. I'm not going to argue for or against the Stand Your Ground law, but what I'm saying is the mentality that brings such things to the forefront is I'm not going to be anybody's doormat. I'm not going to let people trample on me. Well, is that what the Lord taught His people? I mean, is that the mindset that the Lord Jesus Christ had? You know it's not. We know it's not. Now, did He give us some other teaching than what He gave us example? Did He say, I'm going to do this, but I don't expect you to? You know, I expect you to act according to the flesh. But here's how I'm going to act. Is that what He said? No, it said, follow in what? His steps. He set for us an example. But it's a lofty example. It's not one that I don't think anybody, well, in fact, I know nobody ever has even come close to beginning to measure up to it. If not in actual deed, most especially not in thought. And so He said, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the left also. And if a man will sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, turn around and countersue him and try to take everything he's got. Huh? No. He said, if a man sues you at the law to take away your coat, give him your cloak, your overcoat also. Say, here, you can have my coat and my overcoat too. Now again, the Lord, some people have tried to paint this out as a moral code that the Lord's setting forth here. This is not a moral code because the world hates what He's saying right here. This is not a moral code that the world will ever embrace. The flesh will always rebel against it. But it's nonetheless the code of the kingdom of God. And the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Now, what is His righteousness? He's describing it right here, isn't he? I mean, just as plain as the nose on your face. What is the attitude that we have? If a man sues you at the law to take away your coat, give him your cloak also. If he compels you to go a mile, go with him too. I remember Brother Motts, Simeon Motts, told a story about a man that was in his church over in Romania, and this happened years ago. And this man was a very humble man, but he really took pride in having a garden that was just beautiful. I mean, it was lush and just was the talk of the town, this little village where they lived. And there he had a neighbor that just really despised the man. Despised the fact he thought he was a goody-goody and all this, you know, and he didn't. He was just a cantankerous old guy. And so he let his cows loose in the man's garden. Because he said, yeah, I'll get it. He'll be goody-goody. And so he lets the cows loose. Well, after a while, the guy comes back bringing the man's cows. And they're all washed up and everything. And he brought them back to him. And the man did that another day. And the man did that. He did it three times. And every time the man brought the man's cows back, cleaned all the mud and whatever off, never said a word to him about anything. And the man's heart was broken. Because you see, the Lord uses that. That's what Paul talked about over there in the book of Romans when he said, by doing good, you heap coals of fire upon their head. You see, people don't expect that, do they? I mean, people expect that if they challenge you, that you're going to meet the challenge, buddy. They don't expect that you're going to go above and beyond and do good to them that don't do good to you. That doesn't make any sense to the flesh. It's contrary to the flesh. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Well, they're just taking advantage of you. Well, maybe. People take advantage of people all the time. Well, they're not going to take advantage of me. I'll show them. I'm too smart for that. Well, maybe you are. I mean, you know, who can say? But what did the Lord say? How smart? It may be smart in the kingdom of men, but is it smart in the kingdom of God? You see, this is contrary to the flesh. It's not the principles that we would adopt by nature. Ye have heard it, that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now listen to what he says here in this next verse. That ye may be the children of your Father. Now is he saying here, all right, I want you to do all these things, and that's going to make you the children of your Father? Of course not. He's saying, if you do these things, you're going to demonstrate the fact that you are the children of the one who is teaching you what to do. You see, an obedient child believes what his father tells him, does he not? An obedient child is one who embraces that which his father says. He said, if you're going to be my children, then can you be my children? He said, you say that you want to be my followers, well then why don't you do the things that I say? How foolish is it for a man to say, well, I'm following Christ. But I don't believe what Christ said. How foolish is that? No, you can't be the follower of Christ and despise what he said, can you? I mean, you can't. walk contrary to it and say, we're following the Lord. How can you? Oh, you see, that which the Lord gets at here is something that men hate with a passion. Now, if you tell a man, well, you need to give up fish or you need to give up meat on Friday and eat only fish, he says, oh, well, we'll do it. We're going to deny ourselves and we're going to not eat fish on Friday. We're not going to eat meat on Friday. We're just going to eat fish. Or we're going to fast and pray. We're going to lay out all night. And we're going to do religious things. We're going to make sacrifices. I mean, we wanted two pieces of pie, but we're only going to eat one. We're going to deny ourselves. Well, I mean, you can't say there's no form of self-denial in that, but that's not what self, when the Lord said, except a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. He wasn't talking about pie. No, he's talking about this. He's talking about denying the very principles upon which you operate as a natural man. Everything about the kingdom of God is opposite to the way that you think as a natural man. There is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, here a while back it became faddish to wear these little bracelets and stuff that said WWJD, and it stood for What Would Jesus Do? And I guess the fad died out. I don't see much of it anymore, so I guess now it's not in vogue to do what the Lord said to do. But that is really and truly, I mean, in essence, that is how the children of God ought to approach. Let me back up. That is how the obedient children of God will approach the things in life. What would Jesus do? I mean, when you got the goods on somebody and you're ready to get them straightened out, what would Jesus do? When you know you're right, and you know they're wrong, what would Jesus do? Oh, wait, that's too hard. I mean, we can't get a... Sometimes when you got somebody over the barrel, you can't just let them off the hook. You got to really, you know, drive it home. You got to exact vengeance. What did the Lord say? He said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. Now, you know, the problem is we don't believe it. Oh, we believe the part of vengeance is his, but we don't really think that he will repay. And so we figure, well, buddy, we better take care of it because we can't trust the Lord to do it. Isn't that really what we think? I mean, we gotta bring this thing. We gotta bring some justice in this situation because the Lord, he might not. And then we'd be upset if the Lord didn't bring justice. No, you see, the man who says, who believes what the Lord said, he leaves it in the Lord's hands. Mommy. Lord, do whatever seems good in your sight. And if he doesn't do anything that you apparently can see. See, that's our problem. We think that we ought to be able to see it. I mean, we want to see blood, don't we? I mean, we want to see some concrete evidence. The Lord's able to take care of whatever situation may arise. Now, we can go into a lot of details with a lot of this stuff, and maybe we will. But this probably got our head spinning far enough now. And really and truly gives us very great struggles is this really what the Lord said? Is it? I'll leave that up to you. And you'll have to deal with it, you know, as you deal with it. But I'm convinced that the Lord meant exactly what He said. And that's why His ways are above our ways. And His thoughts are above ours. And it's why He demonstrated to us His mercy in the laying down of Himself for us. And we remember what? His death until He comes again. Because you see, dear brethren, what He's talking about here is the death of self. Now, I don't expect that any of us are going to be in danger of putting ourselves to death over this. But I do hope by the grace of God we might see that apart from dying daily with Jesus Christ, we cannot be His children. We cannot be His disciples. We cannot lay claim to being His followers if we don't believe the things that He said. May the Lord give us grace.